Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
Turn back again, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Those words given to us by the Holy Spirit, they're not just something that flows and rolls off the pen of Paul. The Holy Spirit chose those words, and notice how He's describing those to whom He is writing. First, it's the saints, and then to the faithful. A saint is not what a lot of people think it is in the world today. You might hear, well, they are a saint, and the impression we get in the mind is they're not only a Christian, but they're a real good Christian. They're some kind of super good Christian if they're a saint. Now, that is not the way the Bible uses it. It doesn't use the word saint to distinguish some Christians from other Christians. The idea of a saint is one that, well, it's sanctified. I don't know if that helps us much. But when you think about the idea of being set apart, then that really ought to help us understand what the word saint is. A saint is a word for a holy person. By holy, it means set apart. It's associated with the word church in a little different sense. The church is the called out. And you remember, God adds His people to His church. In Acts chapter 2, those who would repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ were added to His church. Were added to those who are called out. They're called out of the world. They're set apart from the world. And that's what the word saint means. If you're a Christian, you're a saint. If you're a child of God, you're a saint. If you're saved, you're a saint. That's what that's talking about. And so He's writing to those in Ephesus and probably to all those surrounding churches about there that had responded to the gospel of Christ in faith and obedience. It had been added to His church. But then He says to the faithful, I tell you what, there are some saints that aren't faithful. When we're talking about being saints, we're talking about God's part. You're set apart where? It's in the heart of God. It has to do with the way that God considers you. He has set you apart in His heart from all of those that have rejected His will. That's what the word saint is. It takes place in the heart of God, and it is God's action in regard to our salvation. That's God's part. But being faithful is our part. And all saints are not faithful. There are unfaithful Christians. There's unfaithful saints. And now He's writing to those who have been set apart and have remained faithful to that calling wherein they were called. And so that's the people He's writing to in Ephesus. That's the first point. Number two, He breaks in to the beginning in verse 3 and going through verse 14, great words of praise toward God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And in that praise, He identifies the particular work or some specific aspect of the work that's somewhat unique to that part of the Godhead that we're talking about here. When He praises God the Father, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, He goes on and praises Him particularly for the way that He had predestined things according to His will. It's God that had the plan. And so that begins in verse 3 and goes through verse 6. And the particular aspect here is that God has the plan. And things have been done according to God's plan. It's been predestined. That's been predestined according to His will. And you remember now that, don't ever forget, it's God's will that all should be saved. God's decisions were such that every man should partake of these blessings. It's not that He said, well, from all eternity, He's decided how many be saved and lost. No man could add to that number and we have nothing to do with it. That's not what it's talking about. He predestined it according to His will. His will is that all men would be saved. And so God has implemented a plan whereby all men can be saved. And so it's to the praise of the glory of His grace down in verse 6, and then in verse 7 it starts talking about Christ, who implemented that plan in shedding His blood for us, redeemed by His blood for the remission of our sins. And again, going down to verse 12, it's to the praise of Him, to the praise of His grace, and then the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's beginning in verse 13. The Holy Spirit is that earnest and that seal, and as that earnest of our inheritance is the translation that was read, that guarantee. Why? The Apostle Paul can show that he was preaching the truth. He performed miracles among those Ephesians and imparted to them spiritual gifts so that they could have that assurance that they had heard the truth. And they responded to the truth. That was the guarantee. And Luke later says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 3 that he has written these things that we may know the certainty of the things wherein we have been instructed. It's the Holy Spirit through the words given to us by these apostles gives us a guarantee. You might say we've got a written guarantee from the Holy Spirit about our condition in regard to being saved. And so he praises the Father for His role, and the Son for His role, and the Spirit for His role in revelation and confirmation of these things. And so that's the second point that to make, is to recognize those three divisions that are there in those 14 verses. Now the third thing, and that has to do with the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. In beginning in chapter 1 and verse 3, it says that blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Now that's where those blessings are found, in Christ. We talked about how that we're baptized into Christ. But as you go down and read those through verse 14, I made a list of those blessings. Here they are. We're chosen. We are made to be holy and without blame before Him in love. Adopted as children. Accepted in the Beloved. Redeemed by His blood. The forgiveness of sins. The riches of His grace abounded toward us. Obtained a spiritual inheritance. And sealed with the Spirit is an earnest. Now those are blessings. What earthly thing would you trade for those blessings? Those are spiritual blessings. And a great joy to us who have come to the knowledge of these things and accepted these things and believed, knowing that it's not because we're so good, but the grace of God. When we obey the gospel, He bestows these spiritual blessings upon us. Great way to read these verses and just dwell on the joy of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. But now number four. And this is real important. And it could be easily missed reading these first 14 verses. But he introduces something here that he's going to develop further in the book of Ephesians. And it's going to be one of the main reasons that the book of Ephesians was written. I want you to look at the pronouns. Sometimes when you're reading the Bible, make sure you look at the little words. You see the big words, but look at the little words. Sometimes the little words are the ones that really help us get into what the passage is talking about. Look at the first person plural pronouns. The we's and the us's. Look where he says we and us in these things. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us. That's what I want you to look at. Bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us acceptable in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He's purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him, I say, in whom also we, having obtained an inheritance, being made predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Who are we talking about? Why did he say we and us? And what does that involve? Let me ask this particular question. When we say we, are we being inclusive or exclusive? Well, you can't tell by the word. You got to look at the context. If I say we live around the corner from the building, you know I'm being exclusive. This is my family. We and not you. I'm being exclusive. We live around the corner. If I was to say, we're going to enjoy a potluck following worship today, you know by context I'm being inclusive, don't you? Because you're going to enjoy that just as well. If he's using the words we and us here, is he being inclusive or exclusive? I'll tell you how you can modify the language a little bit and remove all that. If I say we and not you live around the corner of the building, you know you're being excluded. But context aside, I said we and not you. If I say we are going to enjoy a potluck and you also, you know you're being inclusive, regardless of the context. Look at this. Look at the next verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Jesus. Look at the next verse. In whom ye also, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. We and you also. Okay, well, who's he talking about? Why is the change in pronouns there? And what is the significance of what it is that we're reading? Well, some ideas have been suggested. It was we, Paul and his company, compared to those to whom Paul was writing. It was you also. Well, perhaps. I think there's a better explanation. A more generic explanation is given. Says, well, that's we who are in Christ before you, as well as all you who are in Christ now. And I think that fits. That's good too. I think if you look at the context of what else we read in the book of Ephesians, the we has to do with we Jews who have become Christians have these spiritual blessings. And you Gentiles also are partakers of them with us. And the reason I'd say it's probably a Jew and Gentile thing, without being real dogmatic or without excluding those other possibilities, but why that really fits in. Look what else it says in the book of Ephesians, which addresses that. It's one of the main reasons they wrote the book. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. And you have been quickened. He's made you alive. You who were dead in your trespasses and sins were in times past. You walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And he talks about their former state. But then down here in verse 5, and when we were dead through our sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He's raised us up together. Made us sit in the heavenly places together, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Look on down. Look at chapter 2 and verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which was called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You know, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he said, this promise is unto you and your children. Well, that'd be all the Jews. and all them that are afar off, didn't he? That would include the Gentiles. And Paul is using the same language Peter used here. Ye that are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. 14. Chapter 2, 14. He is our peace who have made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof, he came and preached peace unto you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. This is for us. Yes, this is for you also. Notice how he picks it up in chapter 3. Look in verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Whereas I've made a minister according to the grace of God, which is given to me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship, the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God in Christ, who created all things, until the intent now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in heaven. That all the Gentiles be gathered together. All of those Gentiles who will come to God be gathered together with all those Jews who will come to God in one body. It was ours. It's yours. Also. Ye also. And then he picks it up in chapter 4. That unity that they have. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling wherein you are called, in all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father, and all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You saints at Ephesus and you faithful in Christ Jesus are partakers of all the spiritual blessings that God has promised us Jews down through the ages. Those spiritual blessings are yours also. Ye also. And then the very close of the book of Ephesians echoes that. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. In sincerity, amen. Now that's one of the main themes of the book of Ephesians, and it's introduced in those first 14 verses. Let me read a parable that Christ told that taught this. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I'll give it you. And they went their way. And again he went out the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also. You see that? Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said to his servant, call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last one to the first. And when they that came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden in the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree to me for a penny? Take that as thine and go thy way. I will give it unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first shall be last. For many shall be called but few chosen. What's he teaching? Teaching about the kingdom of heaven. And particularly, as we see later reflected in those teachings of Paul, those Jews needed to learn that lesson. They had been chosen earlier as God's chosen people. Chosen for what? Chosen that through them God would fulfill that promise to Abraham that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. But when it comes to give out those blessings, Jews and Gentiles, we all receive the blessings. We all receive the spiritual blessings that were promised. That's one of the main points in the book of Ephesians. That promise God made to Abraham that through thee I'll bless all the nations of the earth is fulfilled. When the apostles obeyed the Lord's command in Mark 16:15-16 to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And there's a difference in what a Jew is under the old covenant and what a Jew is under the new. There's a spiritual concept of being a Jew different than the physical concept. Look in Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. To be spiritually a Jew. For he is not a Jew which is one outward, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. There's a spiritual way to be a Jew. Physically a Gentile is not a Jew, but spiritually he can be a Jew and inheriting those spiritual blessings that God had promised the Jews. Look in the book of Galatians. I don't know how it could be any clearer than the book of Galatians, chapter 3, beginning in verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Oh, we read the promises of God through that Old Testament. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy those promises? Well, they're ours. Yours also. Even me. Those blessings to the Jews that were spiritual. Those blessings to the Gentiles which are spiritual. And the blessings for you that are spiritual. Now they come on the same basis. Look at the book of Ephesians again. Chapter 1 and verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed. And then he talks about the blessings. Well, that was the basis upon which the Jews received those blessings. To hear the gospel and believe. And that's the basis upon which the Gentiles receive them. And you as well. It's the same blessings. On the same basis. That was a hard lesson to learn. And Peter, who first preached that on the day of Pentecost, had a hard time learning it. God gave him a special vision to help him understand it. And when he went to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35, he said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. It's the same basis for us all. So it's the same basis for you. The same gospel that they heard and believed and obeyed is the same gospel for us to hear, believe, and obey. And those same blessings are.